as a historian, what is your exact involvement in either this Bing Crosby event on the 14th or in general with the topic of Bing Crosby?
Okay, well, of course, I'm involved in both, but to start with the history, which is where I started, actually, I grew up on Sharp Avenue, two blocks down from where Bing grew up. So all my life, I knew people a generation older who actually lived around Bing and remembered him and so forth. So he was a real living part of the neighborhood as far as I was concerned, you know. So that was the origin of my interest. I used to deliver newspapers to the Crosby house, of course, after the Crosbys left. But I kind of considered him one of the boys from the hood. So time passes, and Bing died in 1977, and I was with Spokane Magazine, I guess. And so I wrote a story about Bing Crosby. And the important thing there is that I went around and talked to everybody I could locate who remembered him from the Spokane years. So I got some really good interviews, people mostly, well, you know, Bing's age. He was 74 when he died or older. And so I learned a lot about Bing and how he, you know, grew up in Spokane. And so that was important to me. And then there was a moment when what is now the Bing Crosby Theater was in real jeopardy because one owner kind of went bankrupt, and then a new owner took over and did not know what to do with it. I've been involved in many historic building preservation campaigns like the Davenport and others. And you get really nervous when you see the building sitting there. It wasn't quite empty, but it was just barely holding on because of Michael Smith, who only worked there, but he held it together. And so I thought that, you know, this would be terrible to lose something with that historic character. And then I realized not many people realize how historic that building is. I've said to many people, a lot of places in this country, if Bing Crosby started his career there, you know, it would be lit up in lights every night and advertised across the country. But so I wrote an article for the Inlander magazine pointing out that this was not only a beautiful building, a classic 1915 movie theater, but it was also happened to be the place where Bing Crosby started his career. In the summer of 1925, he got a job with his partner, Al Rinker, another Spokane boy, a North Central boy, doing an act. The two of them would get on the stage between silent movies, see, and they would perform for the audience. Well, that's where Bing Crosby learned his art, you know, standing on a stage, exchanging jests with the audience, many of who knew who he was and had grown up with him and so forth. And then that's where he got a chance to see, you know, his effect on audiences with that voice and so forth. So anyway, I proposed that the city change the name from the State Theater then to the Bing Crosby Theater to bring attention to that fact that was Bing Crosby's launching pad. Well, one thing led to another, and there's always the jeopardy that building is in, and we started raising money and thinking of events and so forth. So in 2006, we held the first Bing Crosby Film Festival to raise money. And Bing's widow came and performed for us, and we raised $40,000, which paid for the new marquee and the new sign and kind of got things underway. So that's the long version of how I get involved.
Well, that's a great version because it certainly does show the interaction of anything anywhere, and especially in this town when various things can come together like that. And so now we've had this event every year since 2006?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so we're closing in on 20 years, well, 15 years, I guess.
And do you have a exact function on Saturday the 14th. Are you going to be telling us some of these stories from the stage?
Okay, there you got me. This, I have been at every festival since 2006, but this year I'm going to be on the East Coast. I've got some appointments out there, so I won't be there. However, we've got a team of a board that's been doing this for all those years, and they're going to take over. Mike Smeltzer will be doing a lot of the MC business that I usually do. Of course, we'll have Howard Crosby doing the show and so forth. Mm-hmm. But one of our board members, by the by, is Carol Capra, who is the daughter-in-law of Frank Capra, the famous film director. And Frank Capra actually worked with Bing quite a bit. Yeah, he writes glowingly of what a workhorse Bing was and what a pro and so forth. But anyway, it's kind of nice to keep it all in the family. So when we have Howard Crosby and we have Carol Capra organizing the volunteer schedule, we've got a lot of Hollywood there on that corner of Lincoln and First.
How is it catching on with the next generation, with people other than the obvious people that maybe had their first date or their first kiss to a Bing Crosby song 50 years ago? What about the next folks coming around?
Well, that's a real delight that we've discovered. For the theater itself, Jerry Dicker has invested a lot of money and brought it up to all the modern standards. First-rate sound system, a big, beautiful new screen. The interior's been all redone and so forth. So as far as the building goes, it's attracting a lot of, jazz programs, rock concerts, comedians. And so it's in pretty good health there, which is a hard thing to do for a local theater. There are local theaters all over this country struggling to get along, you probably know. But another thing we've discovered is, when we first started showing people through the Bing Crosby House Museum on Sharp Avenue there, it was largely people who had grown up with listening to White Christmas at Christmas time and so knew who Bing was. Well, we found a whole new generation is coming in. I was kidding. I met this little 11-year-old girl who was in the museum, and I decided I would spoof her. I'd say, I bet you can't even tell me who Bing Crosby was. Well, she launched in, well, he was the first one to sing this, and he won the Oscar. I couldn't believe it. But what's happening is grandparents and parents are letting their children and grandchildren know around Christmas time, I suppose, who Bing was. So we've got a whole new phalanx of followers coming along.
So things are working pretty well with Spokane and taking care of one of its really famous sons.
Actually, very well so far. We have a lot of it. We show White Christmas, for example, twice, once in the morning and once in the evening, and they both sell out. I mean, people, it's a part of their lives. It's one of those cultural perennials. Mm-hmm. That people make a part of their Christmas every year. So it's a thriving operation. And by the way, can I mention something else I've learned that really surprised at? And that is how big a figure in this nation's history Bing Crosby was. I mean, obviously everybody knows he was a very successful singer and actor, but the thing was, he came along at a certain moment in American history and had an influence on American history. When World War II broke out, of course, it was really a matter of national morale. We're going to have to, basically, the whole nation is going to go to war there. And Bing was the best-known person in the country and the most popular person in the country, and he instantly leaped into the battle, so to speak. Started selling bonds, started giving shows to GIs all over this country and in Europe. He actually went to his agent and said, I think I would like to cancel all those movie contracts until the war's over. Well, the agent told him if he wanted to be involved in lawsuits for the rest of his life, that'd be okay. But Bing did, between the movies, remember, he made the some of the big movies, some of the road shows, Going My Way, which is one of the films being shown Saturday, a wonderful film still. Bells of St. Mary's, Holiday Inn, which was the first place where Bing sings White Christmas. Those were all made during the war years. And so, but in between that, Bing was going to Europe, entertaining troops, visiting hospitals. And so he turned into a really important, essential part of American history. In fact, General Eisenhower said to him, you know, Bing, you've done so much for us. Is there something I can do for you? So Bing said, well, General, if you're ever in the vicinity, could you come by and say hello to my boys? And so the Supreme Allied Commander, soon after the war, drops by the Crosby House and visits with all the boys. That was the kind of appreciation that the American establishment had for them.
Well, what a great story. Bill Stinson, thank you very much for this making this so real, making it come to life for us so beautifully.